T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sweeney Murdy's report is brought to you by New York Community Bank and the NYCB family of banks, online at mynycb.com, by your locally owned and operated Papa John's, the official pizza of the Yankees, by Adorama, the official electronic retailer of the Yankee Radio Network, and Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. Sweeney Murdy, how you doing, Sween?
Wonderful, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
That's the word, wonderful.
Why now for Gleyber Torres? What caused the Yankees to pull the trigger and call up their top prospect?
Well, I think we talked about it last week, is that what was going to he was going to play his way in. And with Wade struggling, it just seemed like that was going to be it. I mean, I think, listen, the elephant in the room is the deadline last week, where they could bring him up and gain an extra year of service time, if he, you know, assuming he stays here all season long. And I haven't heard a team yet that's accepted or acknowledged that was the reason why they did what they did. You can always shade it with some other reasons, but listen, frankly, if that deadline had passed and Torres was hitting 240, he probably wouldn't be here. He was hitting 370. He played his way into the lineup, and the Yankees took advantage of that.
And as far as the other guy, Andujar, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with Drury, but how's he getting back? He's never getting his job back. I mean, what Andujar's hitting right now, 4 hits yesterday. I mean, what is it, 6 straight games, I think, that he's got at least 1 extra base hit? I mean, how is he's the third baseman.
Well, and a week ago we were saying, oh, what are they going to do? Are they going to send him down? What are they going to do? Who are they going to, you know, what's going to happen? I mean, it's so hard to play this game off of, you know, a couple of good games and bad. And, you know, he's going to cool off again from this. But, you know, he's at least stabilized this and you know, given the Yankees the ability to let Drury come back, as opposed to trying to figure out what to do because their third baseman was hitting under 100. That's no longer happening. So, yeah, it's the one thing that they've always said is that he could hit. And we talked about it in the spring. His bat took him through the minor league system at a very accelerated rate, and his glove didn't have time to catch up. So that was part of the issue when you wondered, was he going to be able to play third base in the big leagues? He's made a few errors, nothing crazy so far, but, it's a pretty good run. Everything this guy hits is off the wall or over it. It's pretty nuts.
He is locked in, man, that's for sure. Yep. And there's a few other guys that you have to feel that way, not about them becoming superstars, but how locked in they are right now. I mean, Ronald Torres is one. I thought that hit he had Friday night, he had a 4-hit game or a 3-hit game. Trying to remember, but one of the base hits was him throwing his bat at a ball and it dunking in. I know that we mostly assume, well, he's not an everyday player. He'd be exposed if he played every day, but he is 25 years old and he is hitting 400. Do you think Boone is going to try to find a way to get him more at bats with the streak he's on?
No, I think they're going to play him the way they've been playing him. You know, he is a guy who, you know, he is outstanding at the role he's in. And that's a pretty valuable role to have. Somebody, if you can have somebody sit on your bench for a week and come out here and get 2 hits, I mean, not everybody can do that. He's not going to hit, you know, 350 or 400 all year. You're right. The idea is, if you know, you look at his skill sets and his body type, and you say, over the course of 140 games, this does not play out the same way. And you know, maybe they're wrong, but I feel like he fits what they're doing so well. And they have other players to fill those starting spots, that's not really a big issue here.
And Severino was tremendous yesterday. I mean, I don't know what else you can say about him, but he's, you know, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. The case closed.
You know what I like listening to, Joe, is hearing, you know, Aaron Boone and his coaching staff talk about Severino, because they didn't live through. I mean, Larry Rothschild was here, but the rest of these guys didn't live through him coming up, having some success, having a miserable second year, and then bouncing back off of that. You know, I think those of us who watch him and have watched every one of his starts still look at him as, okay, he's 24 years old. He's developing into one of the best pitchers in the league. You know how they look at him? You know how Boone and his staff looks at him? They look at him as one of the best pitchers in the league.
Right, right,
you know, he's right there. He finished top three in the Cy Young last year, and it wasn't – it's not him still trying to become something. They look at him and say, this guy – you know, when Boone said yesterday, watching him work through a couple of guys on base and then shut it down, he said, this looks like. We still think of him as kind of working his way up to that. Aaron Boone thinks he's got his ace.
And it's amazing to think, because 2016 is not that long ago, how bad he was. I mean, he was so bad in 2016. He gets sent down to the minor leagues where he's better, and there was uncertainty about his role moving forward, and last year it just all clicked for him. So he went from less than 2 years ago being a guy who knows what he is to, like you said, and I think we all agreed, the clear-cut ace of this team.
He's 24, so I mean, remember how young he was when he came up, and how it's going to take you some time. You know, it's I keep thinking back to when Smoltz and Glavine came up, and they were playing on some pretty bad teams. They were getting knocked around. You know, and I remember thinking after they had their success, you know, they learned something as they were losing, and then it's almost like they had to learn how to lose before they could learn how to win. Not everybody has this great start and then just takes off from there. You need to get knocked down a little bit and recognize what you still have to work on, and give Severino credit. He did.
Talking to Sweeney Murdy, you know,
we wondered what his future was. Hmm. We were looking at his inability to throw anything off of his fastball. It was, you know, there was really not much of a changeup. The slider was being thrown too hard, and now he's figured out how to pitch. I mean, you watch him throw that slider over for strikes, and watch the changeup and the swings he gets off of that. He's really learned how to adjust off of that.
Talking to Sweeney, you know, one thing that we talked about a little bit today is Sonny Gray pitching to Romine, like him being the personal catcher for Sonny Gray, who's obviously had his struggles, and certainly pitching to Sanchez. Boone refuses to do that. Do you see that happening down the road?
I think he's just trying to see if he can make it work before going down that road and tying your feet to the pedals, and then you're stuck with only a Gray and Romine combination that works. It's a little too early in the season, and frankly, you know, when we think about the personal catcher routine, you know, the guys that jump to the forefront are Hall of Famers with multiple Cy Young Awards.
Right.
Steve Carlton,
yep.
Greg Maddux,
yep.
You know.
Right.
Sonny Gray doesn't fall in that category right now.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to be able to try and see. All of Sonny Gray's problems right now are not tied to Gary Sanchez. You have a small sample size that says he pitches well with Romine, and that's great, but that doesn't mean that that's the only way it's going to work, and I think they're trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, I mean, the sample size is still 10 games with Gary, 5 games with Austin Romine. I think eventually he'll have to do something, though, if this continues, though. And I, the example I'd come up with to counter, because you're right about the Hall of Famers. I mean, no offense to Sonny Gray, he's not Greg Maddux, would actually be A.J. Burnett, that A.J. Burnett just had much better success with Jose Molina than he did Jorge Posada, to the point where,
it took a while.
You're right.
But they, you know,
you're right.
They didn't make that decision this soon.
Right. Well, Girardi made the decision last year in the American League Championship Series. He did it in Game 4. Now, granted, it was the importance of the game, but in a very small
correct.
Sample size, Austin Romine was catching him that night.
Oh, correct. He made the decision for that game. Yeah, you're right. I don't, and one, it's a new coaching staff.
Sure.
Two, they felt coming into this season that Sanchez was in a different place, especially defensively. And now you're talking about the long haul of a season as opposed to this is a playoff game, what do I do? I think it would be the same thing. If they were playing a playoff game and Sonny Gray's next start, I think
you would try
to see how to get Romine behind the plate. That's not the case right now.
Let me ask you this, because a caller brought this up, that maybe a part of this is Gary Sanchez, that you don't want to basically send him the message that, yeah, you can't catch Sonny Gray. How much of it is it in trying to handle Gary Sanchez the right way by not just giving up on his ability to work with Sonny Gray this early?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, the other big part of it is your lineup is different when Gary Sanchez is catching as opposed to DHing or sitting out altogether, obviously. That when you have a catcher who can hit like that, you want him to catch as much as possible. And you don't want to short-circuit this relationship with Gray before you have to.
So I'm seeing the birth of an animal. That's bizarre.
Is that what that's going on there?
Is that a birth? Oh, my God.
What kind of animal is coming out of the pouch?
Is that a kangaroo?
I think it's a kangaroo.
Oh, the kangaroo's just hanging out in the pouch. Okay. He's not being born.
Are you guys still talking to me?
Well, we're
watching this on TV. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Sometimes things pop up. Right,
what do you want me to tell? What do you want me to tell you? Or I'm going to tell you what the hell you're talking about. Yeah. I just got done talking about Sonny Gray. You're talking about birth of an animal. What in the world is going on with you?
Can I say this, Sweeney? This is actually something that we're watching on TV that we can actually talk about on here.
Sweeney, you'll love to hear. So there's a lot of bad stuff on TV and a lot of stuff we don't want to have on. So what we have on is Telemundo.
Right.
Telemundo is very entertaining.
Right.
They have a lot of shows.
You're exactly right.
Occasionally the news pops on and we're not really watching it. It's just on in the background.
Right.
And it was just very alarming because I'm seeing this animal come out of what apparently is the pouch of his mom.
Exactly.
And it was very interesting. You're hanging on every word. Huh?
I listened to you, Sweeney. I heard every word you said, every single one of them. In fact, I'm going to counter again. Well, it's not really a counter. It's more of an observation. You're right. You take Gary out of this lineup or you move him to DH is what I should say. You're basically replacing Gardner or Hicks with Austin Romine. And I think we'd all agree that even though Romine is off to a good start and he had a big hit yesterday, it's a major downgrade. But if the difference in performance of Sonny Gray is going to be so astounding, I don't know what the date is, Sweeney, and I agree. You know, it's still April. I get that. I don't know what the cutoff is, but at some point, you're going to have to do it, right?
Well, if it continues, yes. But you're not at that date right now.
When is it? Is it June? What are we talking about?
I don't know. You know, I think you have to just let this play out and see. Because, I mean, when we put a date on it, we're assuming that it's going to stay the exact same the entire time. And I don't know if we can do that. I think there definitely is a point in time where you say, okay, listen, this is costing us too many ball games. And I know fans are out there listening right now saying, listen, these games count. You're right, they count. But you have time to work on this because you're better in the long run if it does work out as opposed to just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, screw it, this isn't working.
The other thing you can do is, so Sonny Gray is scheduled to pitch on Wednesday night, right? Thursday is a day game. So what you can do if you're Aaron
Boone. And
there
are times that absolutely will be the case.
And
Boone's even said as much. There are times when it will work out that way and you can take advantage of that. But to blindly do it at all costs,
I agree.
That's when you're running into trouble.
But let's just say Boone says, you know what? It's a night game, the day game the next day. Let's give Gary the DH day in the at night and we'll catch him on the afternoon game. If you do and Sonny Gray pitches six scoreless innings, it's tough to go back. It really is, considering how bad he's been. It would be tough to go back.
And if he gets beat up on, then it's a moot point.
Right. But exactly.
But if he pitches well, I hate to tie his entire performance into who's catching him. He bears some responsibility.
Sure, of course.
He has to execute pitches. You know, I had a long talk with David Cohn about this, who was doing some of these games. He doesn't have anything to change the hitter's timing. Everything is hard. You know, that has nothing to do with the catcher. There is nothing that is crazy off speed other than his curveball, and it doesn't seem to be enough to get the hitters off of it. You know, the idea behind it is that Gray's problems aren't completely tied to the catcher.
Tanaka tonight needs a big bounce back start. He's had success in his career against the Twins. How about Tanaka tonight, bro?
They've had a couple of games in a row where they pitched very well. This is how you build winning streaks. And Tanaka needs to pick up his end of it. Hasn't been there yet. He's a lot like Gray, where saw him, he in spring training, last spring training, he was amazing. And then season started, and you didn't know what happened because he got knocked around a bit. This spring training, Gray pitched very well and starting to get knocked around a little bit. Tanaka can get through. They had a great game yesterday because Severino got through seven. And that's the kind of game you need when you're going to rely on your bullpen a lot. You need to throw a seven in there every once in a while like he did. So if Tanaka can even just get a decent performance through six, then they should be okay, and you consider it the start of something for Tanaka. But he certainly needs to get on a roll. The only way to get on a winning streak is when you get good starting pitching.
Yeah, well, that's true. No doubt.
Yeah, I think he'll pitch well. His last start was so bad. Usually it doesn't come in too big of bunches. So against the Twins, they're struggling. I could see it happening. And he's now had two bad starts in a row. So will Tanaka give you a third dud? No, I think he's due. I'm with Joe on that. But we'll see. Sweeney, we appreciate it.
See you, Sween.
All right, fellas. Have fun with whatever the hell you're watching.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The kangaroos are gone.
Kangaroos are gone. Thank you,
yeah.
Sweeney.
Watching a commercial.
Sweeney Murdy. Yeah, it was just bizarre. I was going to try not to mention it, but it was just so alarming to me that I'm seeing this animal come out of something.
Right.
But it was a pouch. So I think it was a kangaroo.
You feel better now.
I mean, I would have been okay if it was the birth. I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.